And so we see Matthew speaking of how we should practice fasting, how we should practice prayer, how we should practice our worship, not for others' benefit, but as a relationship with God through Christ. We don't do that, do we? We don't put lots of money into a fancy church and then want to put our name on the stuff that we donate so everybody will know? Or do we? We don't build a fancy church and have great finery and then lock the doors and set the alarm so nobody can get in. Or do we? Well, and out of fear. We're afraid that our worldly things will be taken, will be stolen, will be damaged. And indeed, they might. And so we want to protect them. But in the process of protecting them, are we missing the Spirit? There's nothing wrong with having earthly wealth. There's nothing wrong with having a beautiful church. There's nothing wrong with protecting what you have, until protecting what you have becomes more important than sharing with those in need in His name. Lent is something that we find ourselves kind of caught between old traditions and new freedoms. Phil provided us with a wonderful printout today that was included in your bulletin that talks about the traditions of Lent. Should we continue with those traditions just because they're traditions? Or should we question whether we need to continue to do that? Some churches don't recognize Lent at all. Others think it's very important. My feeling is that it's what's in your heart that's important. It's not whether you fast from chocolate, and y'all can tell I like to eat, so, you know, chocolate's one of my favorite foods, but it's not whether you stop eating the chocolate. It's whether you're doing it as a gift to God, or whether you're doing it so everybody be impressed with how you're giving up something that's really important to you. We tend to do things for outward praise. We tend to want people to know what good Christians we are, so we put bumper stickers on our cars and put emblems on the back and, you know, hang crosses from our rearview mirror. I don't know if anybody have heard the story about the lady who had the bumper stickers on the back bumper and the cross hanging from the mirror, and she was trapped in traffic, and she was fussing and fuming and trying to get around people and just driving like, and the policeman pulled her over and put her in handcuffs and took her to the station. And when she got there, she said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "Well, I saw the cross hanging from your rearview mirror, and I saw the bumper stickers on your bumper, and I heard what you were saying, and I thought you were a thief stealing that car." Well, hopefully it's not that extreme, but we sometimes slip. We sometimes forget. We sometimes don't act as Christian, as loving, as caring, as forgiving as we might. We're human. We're fallible. We make mistakes. But Matthew reminds us that it's not what other people see, other people praise us for. It's not what we have in this world that's really important. It's what's in our hearts. It's what other people don't see. It's those opportunities that we have to give when we think about, am I going to be able to pay the rent if I help that person today? Am I going to be able to pay the rent tomorrow? And we help them anyway. It's those opportunities to do something for somebody that doesn't get on TV. Not that there's anything wrong with Extreme Makeover. It does a great thing. It does wonderful things. And it shows people volunteering and giving of their time and of their love, and encourages other people to do the same. But if you're just doing it to get on television, if you're just doing it to be seen, you kind of miss the point. Christian is a week-long word. It's a lifelong word. It's a lifelong struggle trying to be the person that God wants us to be. What is it that the prayer says? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, in heaven, the angels do anything God wants because that's their purpose. That's what they're here for. That's their role. They are God's servants, God's army, God's creatures. But here on earth, we have a choice to do or not do, to go or not go, to give or not give. Would that the kingdom of God were here on this earth. I jokingly tell my clients at the drug rehab, wouldn't it be nice if everybody were trying to do for other people as enthusiastically as trying to get for themselves? I mean, we'd be knocking each other over to try and help somebody across the street instead of knocking people over in order to take their money when they're trying to get over the street. Our world is not a very heavenly place at times. It's not a very divine experience at times. It can be ugly. It can be painful. It can be difficult. It can be a struggle. It is a struggle. But in those moments when we struggle and we reach out to God, God sends us help. We reach out in need, and the people around us see that need and are moved by it. That's being Christian. It's wonderful to share our Christian family. It's wonderful to share our worship. It's reinvigorating and energizing. But if it doesn't change the way we work in the world the other 6 days a week, what's it for? Matthew says, don't worry about how people see you. Don't go out of your way to let people see what a good Christian you are. Just be a good Christian, and people will see that. Every once in a while, something happens to me, and I'm stunned by the fact that somebody saw something that I did that I didn't think was that big a deal. I didn't think anybody noticed. I didn't think it mattered that much, but it changed somebody's life. When I was going back to school to get my master's degree at Florida State, I had a professor who was talking about a class that they were rearranging, and they were team teaching it because the person who used to teach it had retired, and so they were changing over. And as he was talking about the different things that each of the professors who were part of the team were going to do, he said, and if you need help, talk to George. He's a good counselor. And I was like, who, me? He had seen me caring about my fellow students, and he wanted to recognize that in me. And I was amazed because I didn't think anybody had noticed. Friday, I was in my office. I was doing my usual pile of paperwork and trying to see my clients and running around, trying to get everything caught up for the end of the week. And one of the staff came to my door and says, there is a former client here wanting to see you. Okay. So I put down what I was doing. Kind of nice to have a break, you know, got an excuse to put the paperwork aside and go talk to somebody else. And I walk outside, and it's a young lady who wasn't even my client, but was a client of our program. And we were having a conversation, and there were other people talking, and it was kind of noisy. And so I walked her out into the parking lot as she was getting ready to go, and there was a friend of hers sitting in the car, and she motioned her friend to come over. And her friend came over, and she introduced me. Do you know how she introduced me? It blew me away. She said, this is Mr. Potter. He changed my life. You know, and she wasn't even my client. Something I said, something I did, touched her. I was just trying to do my job. But something made a difference. We don't know when a word or a touch or a hug or a can of food is going to transform somebody's life. They say that when they were trying to build computer models of the world's weather system, they had a terrible time because they couldn't seem to make the model run like the Earth's weather runs. You never know what's going to happen next. I mean, you might be able to predict a little bit of the weather, but, and we're getting better at it, but you never know. We certainly didn't expect to have snow in Dothan in March 1st this year. Nobody would have predicted that a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. But then somebody made a mistake. Funny how mistakes turn out to be valuable sometimes, isn't it? Somebody made a mistake and left a random number generator running in the computer that they used for modeling, and the folks who were doing the model turned the model on, and all of a sudden it was working so much more like the real world. And they said, "What did we do? What happened here? How come this is working so much better?" And then they found the random number generator was running, and it was kicking random numbers into the system. And that's come to be known as what they call the butterfly effect. The idea that a butterfly's wings flapping in Alaska could cause a tornado in Bangladesh. We don't know what effect a little action will have on another life. We don't know what a few words will do to another person. We don't know how those things will echo through lives and people and society and history, except that every once in a while somebody comes back and says, "This is Mr. Potter. He changed my life." You've changed lives with T-ball. I know all of you have changed lives with things you've said, things you've done, words you've uttered, sometimes even things you've said when you didn't know anybody was listening, things you've done when you didn't know anybody was watching. It's not just what we do, it's how we do it. It matters what our intentions are. It matters what's in our hearts. And sometimes we get to see that we have indeed changed the world for one person, just a little bit, made a difference. Something happened. And now I know something. Who changed your life? Who changed your world? What words were spoken? What hug was given? What moment of time was taken when you really needed it? And somebody said, "Can I help you? Do you want to pray? Do you want to talk? Do you need something?" We've all been touched. It's His Spirit acting through us that changes lives. It's His Spirit living in us that changes us into something, someone, who can change the world. You never know. And so we share a meal that we call communion, in memory of Christ's meal that He shared with His disciples before He gave Himself as a sacrifice upon the cross. We believe that symbolizes the sacrifice that He gave, that we give, when we give of our time, or our money, or our effort, or our love. And so, share this with me in the knowledge that what you do makes the difference. What you do can change the world. And then think about Lent not as a sacrifice, not as something to hurt with, not something that we do to show people what we're willing to suffer for God, but something that we do enjoy. I heard a mother the other day, when her daughter did something she didn't approve of, saying, "Oh, you are so going to church on Sunday." And I wanted to go, "Wait a minute. Church isn't just to punish somebody for doing wrong. Church isn't just for making amends for our mistakes. Church is supposed to be fun. Church is supposed to be joy. Church is supposed to be fellowship and family and friends and a place you want to go because you want to be there, not because you feel like you have to. In Jesus' name.